So today I want to remind you that God speaks and He moves with fire. And I believe today that God wants to touch some people's hearts. We've been doing a whole lot about we are the church, but I tell you that God loves you and He's got significant plans for you. And every now and again, He just needs to grab our attention. And we're looking at the story of Moses way back in the Old Testament, way back in the book of Exodus. And it's a moment in history where God grabs Moses' attention. And I believe today, prophetically, the Lord is shifting things and He's turning some things around. And so this kind of does link into our series that we've been doing for a long time, but it also doesn't. It stands alone. I believe that the Lord is shifting some things, primarily in our hearts locally, but I believe it could be the same in your area as well. And He's shifting some things. And I think what He's doing is He's wanting us to see that normal doesn't always stay normal, that at any point in time, He can break out. I mean, what we saw in COVID over this last 3-4 years is that it could all be like this and then suddenly. What we saw of the crash in 2008 was that it could all be this and then suddenly. Every now and again, life shifts. And what we've seen a lot in recent years is that life has shifted. The enemy has been moving some stuff. We feel the pressure of life. We feel the strains of life. But I believe that the Lord is shifting some things, and it's spiritual, and it's godly, and it's good. And He's shifting some of us from some old thoughts to fresh thoughts, from old lifestyles to new lifestyles, from old habits to new habits, from old ways of going to new ways of going. And He's trying to grab our attention. And so as we read the story today of Moses and how God grabbed his attention, let's believe that God would grab your attention and speak to you wherever you find yourself. So let's read it in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He's looking after the sheep, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, or Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames. So it's the angel of the Lord, but notice it's the Lord here. Appears to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that and thought that what the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So he thought, let me go check the sight. So Moses said, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Wow. Now, I want to set the scene just for a moment. We're in the middle of the desert. I mean, it gets hot. And so it's not uncommon for a bush or some sort of dry shrubbery to go on fire. This can happen. But the difference here is that this is a bush on fire that's not burning up. It's on fire. It's on fire, but it's not burning up. And not only is it not burning up, but the voice of the Lord is speaking from this bush. This is extraordinary. And God has come to find Moses. In fact, God always knew where Moses was, but Moses has tried to run away from God for over 40 years, and God has still got a plan for his life. And so I wonder for you today, maybe there's been some burning bushes on your radar over this last few while, but you've ignored them either on purpose or ignorantly. You just didn't even recognize them. You didn't even see it. You weren't even tuned in. You didn't even notice it. It wasn't even you weren't trying, it's just you didn't even notice it. And I believe today God wants to grab your attention, that He's putting some things in your path that are out of this world and out of the ordinary, and they're not to confuse you, but they're to transform you. Amen? They're to grab your attention because God wants to speak. And today I want to encourage you that God speaks to His people. And if you know God, then He speaks to you. And if you don't know God, God still speaks. Because at this point in time in Moses' life, he was far from God. He had run away for over 40 years, and yet God was after his life. I tell you this, church, I tell you this, if you're tuned in for the first time, God is after your life, and He's got something for you, and He's trying to grab your attention. What a moment for Moses. If you don't know this, Moses was still living in the past. How do we know this? Because 40-odd years ago, he was living a completely different life, and then one day it all went wrong. You ever had a one day where it all went wrong? And the danger of the one day where it all goes wrong is that you continue to live in the after effects of that one day. And in fact, even though you get to the next day and the next day and the next day, you're really still living on the one day. You're still living back in the one day. And this is what happened to Moses. One day when he was a prince of Egypt, he saw some people being abused, his people, the Hebrew people, the Israelite people, and he got mad and he got angry and he killed one of the Egyptians. And in his fear and in his dread, he ran away into the wilderness. And now he's built a new life and he's trying to live some other way. God's called him a different way, but he's living his own way. And he's been 40 years on the run, 40 years trying to build a new life, 40 years trying to move on. But he hasn't moved on whatsoever. And God has got a plan for his life, and he's always had a plan for his life, and he's about to bring him back. And I want to say to you, where are you in your 40-year journey? Maybe for you, it's been a short journey. In fact, I think all of us have been through wilderness experiences. Some of us have come out well. Some of us are still in. And some of us have been bruised and battered, and we're not even sure what to do next. I want to say to you, God is speaking to your life. You might have to wait for a burn and burst, but I don't think so. I think he's speaking to your life today. And he's speaking from his word, and he's saying, let me whisper to your heart, I love you. See, God comes in the middle of nowhere in a burning bush. I mean, this happens, but it's pretty unusual that the bush wouldn't burn up. And God comes to remind Moses, I still love you. I've never stopped loving you. I know everybody else has turned against you, but I have never. You see, the life that Moses had was one that was protected by God, blessed by God. We don't have the time to go into all of the story, but you should read it out. It's a beautiful, wonderful story of how God blesses and protects Moses from birth all the way through to this day. He's raised as a prince. He gets adopted straight into the kingdom. I mean, it's such a picture of grace, isn't it? I mean, I was a stranger. I had no hope. I got called into the kingdom. I was adopted as a prince. I was treated like a prince. I was given all authority as a prince. And then I made a mistake one day. And I said to myself, I can no longer be a prince. And here's what I want to speak to your heart today before we go any further. If you are a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God, even if you make a mistake, you're still a prince. Amen? Because God's love is not based on what you do. God's love is in who you believe in. And if you believe in Jesus, then even sometimes when you make a mistake, and even sometimes when you let him down, and even sometimes when you go your own way, he has bought you at the highest price, and he has saved you, and he has transformed you, and he refuses to let you go. And 40 years was a long time for Moses, but for God, it was never going to be long enough to shake him off. He was never forgetting about Moses. He was never giving up on Moses. And I tell you today that he's not giving up on you, wherever you find yourself. You know, I feel for some of us, we're just weary. You know, we're just tired. And remember this, you could have the greatest day in God, like Elijah did, and then next day you're at your wit's end. You could be flying in the things of God and then you have a dip. You could be all at sea and you've never had a high, you've just had dips. You could be trying to get up and you just keep falling. But God says this, my hand is on your life. If you would believe in me, watch how you're going to see transformation. I love you. Listen to my voice. See, Moses was embarrassed. He was ashamed. He was lost. He had lost everything. He had quit. Literally, he had quit. He quit being a prince. He didn't face the music. He ran away. This is a guy who's completely broken and ran away. And 40 years later, he hoped to have gotten away with it. But God says, you can't get away from my love. He was angry. He was sad. He was lost. He was broken. But God never forgets. And I want us to stop and ask ourselves a few questions today, just for a moment. Number one, where are you with God today? Come on, if you're not saved, then you're asking this question, where am I with God? Maybe nowhere, maybe somewhere, maybe I'm not sure. If you are saved, where are you with God today? Come on, where are you? Because just like Moses, God had a significant plan for his life, and you're either walking and actively in the plan or you're not. You know what I'm saying? You either are stepping into the dream and the call that God's given you, or you're still thinking about it, still praying about it, but you're not doing it. And God says, where are you with me today? Where are you with me today? And this is applicable for all of us. You might be going great guns for the things in the things of God, and you know God and you love God, but God says, come on, I want you to know where you are because there's so much more. I'm bringing you forward. Number two, are you running away from God? Really, the only thing that we can do is run with God. Run towards him, of course, if you need him. And then once you know him, then you're running with God. You're running everywhere. Because Paul says, run the good race. Fight the good fight of faith. Run your race. God has called you to. It's a long race. It's a long marathon. It's a long run. But God is with you. And at the end, he will say, good and faithful servant. But are you running away from God? Are you running either to him or with him and knowing God's goodness? Number three, how long have you tried to hide? You know, for some of us, we've been hiding. Come on, even as Christians, we find ourselves hiding, don't we? You know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, why am I hiding in this? But remember, the idea of hiding has been there from the very beginning in the garden. It's because we are ashamed, or we don't want to get caught, or we're in denial, or we're simply trying to get away with it. We're disobedient. We've walked away from God's plan, and we're embarrassed, we're shameful, and we simply want to avoid. Hiding is not like hide and seek where we hide to be found. We are hiding to say, God, leave me alone. And I want to say to you, let God find you today. He loves you. Number four, you may have moved on, but God is still working to bring you back. You see, the story of Moses at this point of his life is that after 40 years, he had tried his hardest to move on. He's working for his father-in-law. He's looking after sheep, but he should be looking after the children of Israel, not looking after just silly old sheep. And God loves sheep because he made them, but he loves people far more. And Moses knew what he was called to, and that's why he finds himself looking after sheep. He was a shepherd, but he was in the wrong place. And there's something about the call of God in our lives. You will find yourself either in the right place or the wrong place, but the talents and the ability and the skills that God's given you will always find themselves. They will always work themselves out. Moses, no coincidence that Moses is a shepherd, because he was always meant to be a shepherd. He was always a leader. This is what God had called them to. What has God called you to? You can go somewhere else and you can work for another boss and you can work for another person, but God's called you specially for something, and it's to work in the kingdom of God. And there's no point looking after sheep if you're called to look after people. Amen? Come on, I got to challenge your heart. Then God comes in fire and speaks life to Moses. Verse 5, it says, "Do not come any closer," God says. "Take off your shoes, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." You see, when God comes to Moses and speaks from the burning bush, Moses turns around and says, "Here I am, Lord, here I am." He presents himself. He goes, in that moment, I mean, what would have been flashing through his heart, would have been flashing through his head. I think in some ways he was like relieved. God's got me. God's found me. God's not giving up on me. God loves me. I tell you, there is that for all of us if you need that today, whether Christian or not. But God says, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, take off your shoes, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Wow. I mean, isn't it incredible that Moses has destroyed his life? He's run away. He's in a desert place. It's a place of emptiness and lack, and it doesn't have any flowing water, and it's hard for life to live there, and it's hard for anyone to be there. But this is the place where Moses has found comfort, because remember, whenever you find yourself in that tricky, difficult situation, you end up going into self-destruct. You end up going to the hardest places because you feel like the worst. And you say, well, I don't deserve any better. And yet in that moment, God shows up and he turns it into a holy place. What was once a terrible place, a barren place, a place of refuge, a place of hiddenness, a place of just get me away from anyone. It was a place of the past. God turns up in the present and he makes it a holy place. Maybe today God's going to show up in your life and he's going to make it a holy place. And what you've been living and what you've been saying and how you've acted has been unholy, but God's coming to make you holy. Isn't this the good news of the gospel? Isn't this the good news of Jesus, that you come just the way you are and he finds you just where you are and he brings holiness and he calls Moses to holiness? And it's not saying, Moses, you've got to be holy. He's just saying, be careful. I got to do a work in you. My holiness is going to transform you. And church, I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, wherever you are in your life, maybe you've tried to run away. Maybe you've done some silly stuff. Maybe you've done some nasty stuff. Maybe you've said some nasty things and you find yourself in a mess, and now you're living in a mess. Get ready, because God's going to speak. He's going to come with fire and he's going to bring his holiness right in the middle of that. And it might come in the form of a person, or it might come in a burning bush, or it might come in the form of reading the word of God. But you be ready, because he is speaking, because he loves you. Don't come any closer. But God's grace is incredible, isn't it? See, God's grace came looking for Moses. You see, it didn't make any sense, does it? Does it? You know, someone goes in trouble. The only person that goes looking for someone who's done something what Moses did is someone who's coming for justice, a bounty hunter who's trying to get paid, or someone who's coming from the police to bring justice to the family. But God comes with something that he doesn't deserve. He deserved justice, but God gave him mercy. He didn't deserve grace, but God gave him holiness and grace and love and forgiveness and redemption. Isn't this what he does for every single one of us? If you've received Jesus, this is what he has done for you. Don't be distracted with anything else, because sometimes when we've been set free, we end up going back to the old places and living in the old ways and talking the same way and having the same habits and having the same friends. But I'm telling you, if you've been transformed, begin to live differently. And it should affect every aspect of your life. Don't forget it. Don't forget who you are. And don't forget what he's called you to, because you are a prince or you are a princess. And God has set you apart. See, God knew all about his past. And God redeems and restores. I'm telling you this. God redeems and restores. God calls Moses to mission. And we're going to do a couple more minutes and then we're done, because I don't think we need long today in terms of what we're talking about. And I want you to get the story. Incredible what God has done in Moses' life. Then Moses blows it all up, kills a man. You don't get anything worse than that. He runs away instead of facing the music. This is a guy who's a terrible person. He didn't face the music. He didn't stand up for what was right. He didn't do the right thing. He took the easy way out and he ran away hoping to never be caught. And now God catches him with his love, but he doesn't bring him before the judges to execute him. He brings him before the God of love to set him free and then call him to greater things. And this is what God's calling to each and every one of us. It's the same with the disciples in the New Testament. They forget Jesus. They go their own way. And the moment he's resurrected from the dead, he says, come on, remember, we're on a mission here. Come on, we're on a mission. Saul, who's going his own way. Acts chapter 9, isn't it? Acts chapter 9, Saul's just going his own way. He's living for himself. He's living for the Romans. He's living to kill the Jews. And then God stops him in his tracks and says, Saul, come on, why are you persecuting me? Come on, you've got a call on your life and you are a leader, but you're not living the way I've called you to live. It's time to change. And God changes him by blinding him so he can see properly. Samson was a man with God all over his life, but he chose to live his own way and fulfill his own needs and own sinful desires. And again, the time when he best sees is when God takes his eyes away. And church, I appeal to us. I urge us, as Paul wrote many times in the New Testament, come on, don't forget his benefits. Don't forget what he's done for you. If you find yourself one for Christ, then live for Christ. If you find yourself you don't even know Christ, then get to know Jesus because he wants to transform you. And if you've made an horrendous mistake, get before God, do whatever it takes and allow him to transform your life and redeem all things. Come on, the Lord is good in every way. I mean, how many times have you heard the stories of someone who paid the price and they found themselves in prison, and then in there, God begins to use them to save people in the prison. God will use you wherever you find yourself. God will use you in the midst of the mess. God will use you as he used with Joseph all the way through his life, whether it be with the slave traders, whether it be in Potiphar's house, or whether it be in the prison, or whether it be in the palace. God used them in every single situation. And I'm telling you this, if we would keep ourselves fixed on Jesus and we would simply believe, I believe in Jesus. I believe in him. Then watch what the Lord will do with our lives. Moses didn't deserve or earn any of it, but the Lord showed him the tremendous grace and mercy, and now he's going to give him the mission of his life. After all that had happened, God loves Moses. Verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, God speaking, and the way of the Egyptians are oppressing him. And I see the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So go now, I am sending you, Pharaoh, to bring my people and the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses still doesn't get it. He showed up in a burning bush. He's come with fire. And what does fire do? Come on, just for a moment. Fire purifies and fire molds. I mean, fire burns up things that can't stand the heat. And when the fire of God comes on your life, and maybe today you need the fire of God and it's more better than the thinking, you need the fire of God to come and burn up all that silly stuff from your life. All that stuff that's holding you back, the lies, the issues, the problems. He needs to burn the whole thing up. And then he comes with his wonderful fire, not just to burn up the rubbish, but to melt us and shape us in the way that he has always planned. There's no one like God that can change your heart the way he does. There's no one like God that can turn things around like the way he does. There's no one like him that can take a life that's lost and broken and use it for the glory of God. He's about to do it with Moses. And Moses says, who am I? And he's going to discover that it's not about who you are. It's about I am. Because he turns right. And God says, but I'm sending you. And when the people ask you, who's sending you? Verse 14, God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to tell the Israelites. I am has sent you to them. I am has sent you. I am has sent you. When you go to those friends and they're like, but who are you? We know you. You just go, I am has sent me. It's no longer I that lives, but I am has sent me. Come on. Isn't this good about God? He's basically said, I am the I am. And every day and every moment, it's me. And every day and every moment, I am. There's no future. There's no past. There's no future in me. It's I am. There was no beginning. There will be no end in me. I am able to do things outside of space and time. I am right in the middle of everything. And I stand in the gap for you. And I died on the cross for you. And I've got plans for you. And you've got to trust me. When someone comes and says, well, who are you? You say, it doesn't matter about me. I come in the name of I am. How good is this, church? How good is that for you in your workplace, in your family, where you're feeling defeated or dejected or even rejected or unaccepted? God says, you are mine and you are my beloved. And you go in my name, I am. And as you go in my power and you go in my strength, and I will speak for you. And if you don't know the story of Moses, he goes through this incredible season of let my people go, let my people go. No, I won't let them go, says Pharaoh. And eventually they go on this incredible journey all the way to the promised land. Moses was God's man. Moses just made some mistakes along the way. I want to say to you, where are you in the plan of God? Where are you with your plans in God? Where are you in your life with him? Because God has called your life and God wants your life and God loves you. And if you've not given your heart and life to Jesus, it's time to turn around. And so what about Jesus? Well, let's finish with this last thought. 40 years. We could look through the Bible and we could do a number study, but you'll come very quickly to the New Testament. You will find 40 days. And Jesus, before he starts his ministry, it says that he is filled with the Spirit. And for 40 days, he goes into the wilderness. But unlike Moses, he does not go in shame. He goes in with delight. Because the Father comes and says, here's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so after that, Jesus goes into the wilderness. And it's funny, we all need a wilderness experience. Moses did, Jesus did, we do. We're all going to go through them. Sometimes it's 40 years, sometimes it's 40 days. But we'll all find ourselves in a wilderness and we have a choice to make. Do we go in through bad reasons or selfish reasons or sinful reasons? Or do we go in with the Spirit of God and we say, God, I'm going in with you and I'm doing business with you. You see, Moses ran away in those 40 years and he wasn't intending to do any business with God, but God eventually got his attention and he did business with Moses because God needed him. Wow. Imagine God needed Moses. Just such a useless guy who had done terrible things. Why would God need him? But God needed him because he decided because he loved him. And it's the same for us today. Jesus decided to go into the wilderness with the love of the Father and the grace of the Father, and he was filled in the Spirit. And then it says after 40 days, he came out empowered by the Spirit. He came out transformed by the Spirit. And I want to say to us tonight, God is looking to light up our lives with the fire and the plans of God. He's looking to pour it out over your life, and he's looking you to be transformed and changed in every way. And I want to encourage you to say yes to him, because God wants to come and his fire will come. And the beauty about fire is it burns up what it needs. Maybe right now you don't know what you need. Moses did not know what he needed. He thought just looking after sheep would make him happy. It would not have, because it was not the plan and purpose and call that God had for his life. And I want to say to you, you might find yourself working well, looking after your family well, going here well, doing that well. But stop for a moment and say, I wonder, is God trying to get my attention? I wonder, is he speaking to me and I've missed it? But here's the good news. He's still speaking and he says it's time to receive it today. You need the fire of God. And when the fire comes, it's on him. It's not on you, in the sense of he's in control and you're not. But he comes and he transforms you. And after 40 days, Jesus comes out and something changes forever. Moses was the reluctant savior. Jesus was the willing savior who went all the way and died on the cross. And now the Holy Spirit, who comes like a dove, and who came like tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2, and he wants to come and rest on your life. And he wants to come and call you to plans and destiny and purpose. And the enemy's ultimate goal is this. Remember, stop you fulfilling the mission and the call of God on your life. He tried to do it to Moses. He tried to do it to Joseph. He tried to do it to Gideon. He tried to do it to Samson. He tried to do it to Jesus. He tried to do it to Paul. He tried to do it to Peter. He tried to do it to them all. I mean, he tried to do it to them all. And for many, he succeeded. But let's not be all. Let's be the ones that say yes to Jesus. After 40 days, he returns on fire for God. What about today? We return to our workplace on fire for God, to our family on fire for God. This is available for us. So come on, we're going to pray. We're going to pray today that we would know the Father's heart. We're going to pray today that we would experience His love and forgiveness. We're going to pray today that we would know His fire. And I tell you this, there's a gap sometimes between people where they get the forgiveness of God, but not the fire of God. And you see it, they're content to a point, but they're not moving. They're not moving. And I tell you, there was a time in my life where I had the forgiveness of God, but I didn't have the fire of God. We need the fire of God. You need the fire of God so it allows you to move and act in the way that God's called you to. Let Him burn up all the rubbish and let Him call you to all that He has planned and dreamt for your life. So come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank You today for Your goodness. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, every heart, every life that needs You are saying yes to You in Jesus' name right now. Lord, I pray for those that are far from You. You're coming home in Jesus' name. 40 years are running. 50 years are running. I don't know how long running, but coming back in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, You're whispering, I love You. I died for You. Lord, I pray for those that want to say yes to You tonight. They're saying yes because they need forgiveness. They need to surrender. And they need that brand new start. And so I invite you to say yes right now. Just believe the Word says. And Lord, I pray for those that are Christians that have known forgiveness, but where's the power? Have known forgiveness, but where's the fire? I pray tonight, Lord. I pray today, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, that Lord, right now, You would touch us with Your fire. You would purify. You would restore. You would redeem. You would remind. You would equip and You would call and You would ignite something inside of us that we would never, ever be the same again. Lord, we need Your fire. Come and remind us of our call and our purpose. Don't let us drift. Don't let us just go idly by. Don't let us be looking after sheep when we should be leading people. Come on, we all have people on our radar. There is always people that God has called us to lead. And Moses was trying to look after some sheep in the wilderness when God needed him to lead some people through the wilderness to the promised land. And God needs each and every one of us to lead some people through the wilderness to the promised land so they will find a Savior and a home forevermore with Jesus. Lord, I pray today, ignite something in our hearts. I pray today, fire something up in our spirits. And I pray today that we will not be the same, Lord, and we will not turn this way or that way, but the Spirit of God right now will come and ignite us and fire us up, and every single thing that needs to go is gone in Jesus' name, and every single thing that needs to be redeemed is redeemed in Jesus' name, and all that needs to be fired up to move for mission is being fired up for mission right now. Lord, we anoint and we bless, and we ask You, Holy Spirit, we ask You, Father God, to move like only You can in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.